The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. Leading off with the big story of the day. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Columbus and Dina.
Some plays, not a ton, but we need to progress him, so it was good to have him back out there. Yeah, still even, Steven. There's been no separation, and we're going to kind of keep the rotation these next 3 days the same as it's been.
So there you go, Bradley Chubb back on the field, and no separation. Of course not. Tyler Columbus, it's good to see you. We're going to have Adam Schefter on here in a few minutes. How about that?
Yeah, I can't wait. Good to see Chubb out there. First snap, I was watching him, or at least first snap that I noticed he was on the field. He had a pass rush opportunity against Garrett Bowles, good on good. And I don't know that definitively it was a sack. It was definitely a pressure, and it was very close to being a sack. I didn't see a lot from Bradley Chubb today. But with the first rep that I noticed him, he had a real solid power rush move on Garrett Bowles. Good to see him out there making an impact.
Let's see. Well, I feel like I should get to you with the breaking exclusive news from Tyler Columbus, because you picked up on something I wasn't aware of. I mean,
oh, thank you. Wait, it was that applause for me? That applause was for me?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you haven't even heard the hot take yet, but that the applause was for me?
What's going on?
Well, I tell you what, D-Mac, I don't know if it has something to do with the lack of attendance or what's happening. It was a decent crowd, probably the best crowd, right? How many people would you say?
Oh, man, I'd say 2,000, maybe.
Really? Well, no. Okay.
I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know. I'm just ballparking.
Well, I was there on Saturday, and that was an invite-only crowd.
Right.
That was all of the local state championship teams and UC Health employees, so on and so forth. That was by far the biggest crowd.
Yeah, but it was like I heard Mike talking about this morning. Mike's the best, but I mean, the pool was stocked with fish. You know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes.
It was.
That's right. That was definitely a stocked pond right there.
That's
for sure.
Right. Right. Today was not.
It was a better crowd, not a huge crowd. You know what they were doing today, D-Mac? Whenever there was a big play, a big catch or something,
yeah,
there was piped in crowd noise.
Now, how do you
piped
know
in that? Applause.
How do you know that?
I can tell you for a fact. Now, okay, hold on. Now, there might be a difference here between there being a microphone that was in the crowd and that being amplified through speakers that were coming out of the building, or whether somebody was sitting with a hand on a button and was pressing the button every time there was a big play. Thank you. I don't know for sure which one it was, but absolutely for certain, there was piped in crowd applause coming from the building out
really?
Of those giant speakers, because you would hear it before you even heard the applause coming from the hill.
No kidding.
Absolutely.
Well, I was.
It was like we were watching some, I don't know, sitcom. It was like I was sitting in the crowd of a sitcom.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, it was weird.
I couldn't tell. I mean, I'm on the sideline. Boy, we had a great view today.
Richie can vouch. Richie, huh? Piped in crowd noise, real deal.
Like, you could tell. You knew it was...
Yeah, absolutely, 100%, you could tell.
Piped in.
It was
piped
coming
in
from
applause.
The other side of the where the fans were.
This was not like this was not like an echo. This was like, it was louder coming from the building than it was from the hill.
Okay. That is mind-blowing to me, because the acoustics are such that being like right on the field in the middle of the field, and today was like exceptional. The vast majority of plays were like right at us, like right where you could stand on. It was an incredible view to be standing on the sideline today. I could not tell that at all.
Well, it might be going right over your head
that.
Because those
sure.
speakers are way up high on that building.
Sure.
They're on the rooftop.
Sure.
And they face directly out towards the crowd.
Right.
So, seriously, it might have just gone directly. Well, and you're not the tallest dude in the world. So, you know.
Hey,
thank you.
You're not applauding
that. Thank you. Far too kind.
I need to applaud that.
Far too kind.
Wait, hold on. I'm so short. I'm so short. Sound waves would escape me.
That's
I'm
right.
so short. I couldn't tell because I'm so short. The sound waves would be going over my head.
That's right. That is. It is. Right.
Anyways. All right. Well, that's an interesting twist.
Piped in crowd noise. Yeah.
Did you notice that? Like, right. Did you, like, look around and be like,
wait a second?
Like,
the first catch of the day, we were looking at each other, like, where did that sound just come from? And then we were kind of debating amongst ourselves. So then some of the fans that were in attendance right around us, they started joining in the conversation. They were saying, oh, that's definitely coming from the building. So then we were listening for it, and the only thing we couldn't quite tell was there a microphone that was in the middle of the hill that was just being replayed through the through the speakers that are on top of the building,
right,
or whether somebody had their finger on the applaud button.
I don't know. How much do we care about this? How much investigation should we do on this?
Just interesting. It felt like I was playing in Indianapolis again. You know, okay. I've been out there in Indy where they're piping in crowd noise. Sorry, Peyton.
Well, I mean, I'm going to assume it stood out when Teddy Bridgewater threw a deep touchdown pass to Deontay Spencer for his first play of the day, where you know, Drew Locke started with the starters. You got 70 in at right tackle, so Massey was out there again. And it's like, was it a sack? Is it a completion? I don't know. And then a little pass to Noah Fant. So he's looking all right. And then 3rd and 5, he takes off and runs. And you're like, well, there you go. That's Drew Locke. Then here comes Teddy. Here comes Teddy. That's right.
Yes, yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Far I'm just, I'm right. Dumped down Teddy. I'm Teddy Checkdown, huh? I'm Safety Ted.
Not today.
Steady Teddy, uh-uh.
This was Touchdown Teddy today.
Touchdown Teddy. Goes deep to Deontay Spencer. By the way, Parnell Motley. Ooh, dear.
Not a day.
I don't know if you're applauding Parnell Motley.
If you're applauding him, it was like good effort today. That's about the most applause you could give him today.
Motley's had some, he's had a rough couple days. You don't want to have the days that Parnell Motley's been having.
He's definitely gotten beat deep a handful of times. Hey, first pass from Teddy Bridgewater was a bomb.
Yeah.
Beautiful delivered strike to Deontay Spencer. It was kind of going back and forth for the first few periods, though. Although Teddy Bridgewater did deliver the first strike of the day. He also... Crowd noise. Oh, wow. He also did have an incompletion there in the first team period. It was about a 30-yard pass that he went for 2 home runs in the first team period. Had 1 incompletion, had a little swing route in there as well. Drew Locke in the first period delivered 1 ball to Noah Fant. He took a sack, and he had 1 scramble that he probably picked up 6 or 7 yards on. It was fine. The scramble was fine. It was an appropriate time to pick it up.
Right.
Then we went to the 7-on-7 period, and Drew Locke gets the first crack, throws an interception, and we're like, oh, great, here we go.
Pat
Surtain, nice little pick for number 2. Number 2 got his first pick of camp. Mm-hmm. Immediately followed up by Teddy Bridgewater following his own interception. So not the best start to practice that we were looking for. From there, though, the separation really started to take off between the 2 quarterbacks.
Yeah, the second interception, you know, that great middle linebacker number, 63. But, hey, good for Curtis Robinson. We said your name there, Curtis Robinson. Way to go. You get your name mentioned. And the guy that picked off Drew... at the end, he's that new guy. Oh, my gosh. I got to look him up. He's got a very different type of first name. Oh, my gosh.
So I the only period that I missed was the move the ball period at the end of practice
because
I was out there doing a hit with Sandy and Nate. So I did not see that period. I'll have to take your word on it, although I did hear that the day finished with an interception from Drew.
It did. And I'll find the guy's name in a second to give him props. And it wasn't good. I'm standing next to Cliss, and we're just like, okay, Teddy's, Teddy's having a day. Teddy's having a day. It's a move the ball period. Feels like more football, real football. I'm like, okay, Drew, here we go now. You got to respond.
Yep.
And, not so much. What was his first play here? Hold on. Well, it only went 2 plays at the very end, unfortunately, for Drew. It was the handoff to Melvin Gordon. Hold on a second. Did it a floater to 10 over 2? Oh, well, that's true. Drew. Oh, no, that was, nope, my bad. I'm sorry. I'm reading things in the wrong order. My bad. Drew, where is it? Oh, Tyler.
That's all right. Don't
Tyler,
worry about
Tyler,
it.
Tyler. I'm just trying to find my notes here. Anywho, thank you. Thank you very much. Anyways, it was like a handoff, and then it was like a short pass, and he got picked off by the new guy. And Vic Fangio said, believe it or not, they're short on corners. Isn't that crazy? You think we have a million corners, but they Duke Dawson's out and
right.
a couple of Bassie's out, Mustang Bassie's out, and all of a sudden you
well,
got
Well, yeah, they were short on the depth corners for today.
Yeah.
You know, quick hitters, observations of the day. I would say this. By far the most aggressive day from Teddy Bridgewater. He completed four passes that were at least 18 yards or more. He attempted a couple more in there. One was dropped. Probably should have been 35 yards. Drew Lock, on the other hand, was the most inconsistent that I had seen him. I think that Drew Lock has done a great job outside of the one practice of you know, taking the checkdowns and making completions. I counted 6 to 7 incomplete passes from Drew Lock today. Bradley Chubb was out there, looked good. I think that between the two quarterbacks, I was there on Saturday as well, by the way, one of the few that got to see both practices, and Drew Lock definitely won Saturday. I mean, Ted Bridgewater threw interceptions on three interceptions on Saturday. I don't think that, or excuse me, two interceptions, three of them looked like interceptions. Got that confirmed today from Alexis Perry from Denver Broncos. She told us that after watching the film and everything that the ball definitely hit the ground with Kareem Jackson's second interception on Saturday. Doesn't matter. It still counts. Like I've always said this, whether somebody actually catches the ball or not as an interception, if you put it there, it's going to count that way on your grade sheet.
Well, then
right?
Drew had another interception today because he had a pass batted up in the air. That, I mean, was just hanging up there forever that could have easily been picked off.
Well, that's what's so disappointing about the entire battle that's going on right now between these two quarterbacks. Somebody just go. Like Saturday, Drew Lock, you won by default because Teddy Bridgewater had a bad day. And it was a bad day. Like, it was the type of bad day that it would be equivalent to Drew Lock's bad day when he didn't complete a pass until the last period. Matter of fact, it was worse because you had the three interceptions. And then we come out today and you say, okay, Drew Lock, just string together a couple practices here and you're going to have a fighting chance at this thing. All you got to do is show some consistency, not have the bad plays. And unfortunately today, Drew Lock goes out there and he follows up a win with a loss, and we just bounce back and forth, win, loss, win, loss.
Well, I know it's a win for us because we have made it through the long, hard offseason without Adam Schefter, and he is back. All right, Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider, joining us courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Adam, did you miss us? Did you miss us, Adam?
Terribly.
Oh, yeah.
And I am happy to see you guys. And to get ready for another season of football, talking Broncos, NFL on Mondays, it is good to be back with you, D-Mac. I appreciate it.
Well, it's wonderful to have you back. And, man, did we talk about you a lot over the past couple months because of the Aaron Rodgers situation? How was that whole process for you professionally and personally? It was quite the roller coaster.
Well, I appreciate you asking. And, again, I'll get your thoughts afterwards, but I would just say that for whatever reason, Packer fans tried to take it out on me that their quarterback was unhappy and wanted out. Like they thought that I was the bad guy for that.
Hmm.
And it was interesting. It was an interesting
few months. How did that manifest itself then when you say that? I mean, I'm going to guess you got a lot of, well, interesting feedback, I guess. I guess that's what I'm just assuming.
That's correct.
Okay.
That is correct. Regularly, daily, and... You know, I think it went back to the Dan Patrick show right after the draft when I came out and Dan asked me how this whole story worked out. And I kind of gave him a Cliff Notes version and really tried to shorten up and basically just said, yeah, you know, again, you know, woke up, decided to go to the story. I didn't give him the full, like, I didn't say, yeah. And I woke up that morning after talking to people about it for three straight months on a regular basis. And reached out to various people that morning and double-checked things and dotted I's and crossed T's. I just kind of said, yeah, been hearing an accumulation of information for months and decided on draft morning to go there. That became somehow that I didn't have sources, that I made it up, that I just put it out there. I mean, just wild things, right? Wild.
Well, how about his presser on day one of training camp? Holy cow. I don't think I've ever seen a more raw or authentic presser from an unhappy camper. I mean, if you ever need, not that you needed justification, but I think you got all the justification you needed that Aaron was an unhappy camper, huh?
Well, again, so I'll turn it back to you guys and I'll say, okay, so I reported what I did, got criticism from Packers fans repeatedly. And how in the end did that turn out? You tell me. From the outside looking in.
Well, I think I was consistent with what I was saying, meaning I didn't doubt you for a second, but I thought it must have been frustrating from your point of view to have it right, which I believe you did, but you didn't need it, but it would have been nice to get some sort of support from, well, the Rodgers crew. And it just like at every turn where he could have come out and sort of confirmed what was being reported, which was absolutely true, he just kind of, you know, turned his back on it until that press conference. And at that press conference, he unloaded. And there was part of me that was like, well, Aaron, why wait so long? Like, why, if you're going to do this, why not do it when it would have mattered more? I think it would have mattered more. And I don't know what game Aaron Rodgers was playing there, Adam, meaning I guess he wanted to play the balancing act of getting the information out and still sort of retaining the love of the fans somehow.
There's a part of that that's correct, and there's a part of that that's incorrect.
Okay.
He was not looking to get anything out. He was never happy that the information came out. And again, it's not my job to make sure that Aaron Rodgers is happy about whether the MVP of football is not happy and wants out, right? He wasn't happy. If it were up to him, he would have gone all offseason and not had anything said. And I think, but to your point, you're right. Again, if he had come out after the season and documented all his complaints and been open and transparent, and then he could have said, and that's why I don't want to be back and I want to be traded. And I don't know that it would have been a different outcome, but it certainly would have been more interesting. But he was passive aggressive all off season.
Right, yeah. Right.
And by then, it's too late.
When you use passive aggressive, I mean, we definitely had a laugh about that because I mean, I was using harsher language. You know, I was calling him like a weasel turd, and passive aggressive is a much classier way to say it than weasel turd. But in the end, I think we were both saying the same thing. Like, come on, dude, do you want to be there or not? You know, and we all knew he didn't want to be there. We all knew he didn't want to be there. Anyways, all right, I'm going on too much. What else is going on, Adam?
Well, that was interesting. And then today, of course, the Carson Wentz news. It's always something in this league, right? There's always some sort of storyline, some sort of drama, some sort of something that can lend itself to debate and conversation. Now we've got the conversation here in Indianapolis, what the Colts do. Carson Wentz will have surgery. So that's a blow. And that always sounded like it was going to happen. And here it is. He's having surgery, I think, as we speak right now, doing it in Indianapolis. And I know they say 5 to 12 weeks he'll miss, but hard to imagine a guy who has had his physical history will come back on the short end of that. Now, maybe he's back in 7, 8 weeks. I could see that, definitely. But 5 weeks, no. That's hard to imagine. But we'll see. Maybe he is. Hopefully he is.
Hey, I got one more on Rodgers, though. I am curious, at the end of the day, what were the concessions that were made? So we know that 2023 was voided. We know that they will readdress the situation at the end of this season. But what sort of guarantees does he have that the team will not go down this exact same road again next offseason?
Well, again, I think all you have to do is follow the money. His cap number for this year, I believe, is $27 million. His cap number next year is $46.1 million. They're not going to want to carry a 46-1 number. And so they're going to have to sit down with their quarterback after the year. And the quarterback, in all his honesty, and I applaud him, by the way, for the press conference he did, you don't see athletes basically speak that open, honestly, and transparently ever. And he did, and put it all out there, didn't care. But if and when they sit down with him after the season to adjust that number, and he doesn't want to be there, he's not going to adjust the number. And they gave him the forfeiture language in his contract that he doesn't have to give back the bonus money. So if he says that he wants to move on, I believe that's what they will wind up doing as much as they would prefer not to. Now, what Aaron Rodgers did, the concessions he got, we could point out the hard, concrete concessions, right? A year knocked off his contract. No franchise tag allowed. Forfeiture language introduced. Not in the contract, but Randall Cobb traded for. So those are the obvious things.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest thing that he really got in that deal is the freedom to be able to play where he wants in 2022. Doesn't have it contractually just yet. But if he wants to be back in Green Bay, then they'll redo the contract with an extension. If he wants to be traded, he will tell them that, direct them to do that, and I believe that they'll have to do that. And if he wants to retire, then he can walk away and keep his money. So the biggest concession that he got back was freedom. Freedom to choose in 2022, whatever that decision turns out to be.
You don't think if he played at an MVP level again that they would be willing to pay, I forget the number you said, $41, $42 million, whatever the cap hit's going to be there. You don't think they'd be willing to pay that one more year if he played at MVP again?
I don't think Aaron Rodgers cares what Green Bay's paying him. I think he cares about respect, control, power, comfortable, happiness, all those things. Money, yes, he's made a ton. He's made about $200 million in NFL contracts throughout the course of his career. I think it's beyond that. I think it's about respect, appreciation, input, honesty, transparency, all those factors that aren't a part of $46.1 million.
All right, Adam. I feel like I should ask about Deshaun Watson, but I don't know. Is there anything?
Good. Well, you could say, what do we know about the Deshaun Watson situation?
What do we know about Deshaun Watson?
Excellent question, Tom. Excellent question. Really good question.
I'm good at this.
You know, here's the deal. There are a lot of teams out there that would like him, but there also are 22 pending civil lawsuits right now against him. There's also an NFL investigation, a police investigation. Deshaun Watson, at the time that this is going on, maintains he's done nothing wrong, that he's innocent. Who's right, who's wrong, we don't know, right? We don't know what to believe. That situation probably is more important than any in football, but because it is tied to football, we have to talk about it from a football standpoint. And so he's at camp when he doesn't want to be there, and they don't want him there. When he's moved on from them mentally and emotionally, and in a way they've moved on from him, even though we have to see what they're going to get back for him in a trade, but they can't really trade him right now because teams can't really afford to give up everything that they would for Deshaun because we don't know how the case is going to turn out. So everybody is in a holding pattern right now, and I thought it would come to a head much sooner than this, but it hasn't. And now that it hasn't, it doesn't look like there's a near end in sight. We all know how this is going to end eventually. Is he's going to be traded from Houston. But I think the legal aspect, the investigations, it would seem today, have to have some sort of clarity to them before teams are willing to trade for him like they're waiting to do.
All right, Adam. Hey, we'll be at the Hall of. Are you going to be at the Hall of Fame or not next week?
Not going. No. You know, I'd love to see Steve go in, and I did speak with John Lynch on Friday. Put him on my podcast. I actually should call Steve and put him on for 10 minutes. I'd like to talk to him just to congratulate. In fact, I may call him just to congratulate him. He was a great guy to cover.
Oh,
a great, he was just a pro. Yep. Such a nice guy. And I'm not going to say you guys are going for Atwater and Lynch or and Peyton, right? And Peyton.
Yep.
Yeah. And someone, I had somebody from Indianapolis reach out to me last week to shoot a little video. I guess he's accumulating some videos for Peyton, some congratulatory videos. And next Monday, I'll share with you what I say.
Okay. All right. We look forward to it.
That's pretty funny.
Hey, Adam, one of the video highlights of your life is doing the Lambeau Leap. How would that go over now?
Oh, I'm sure it would go over real great. I'm sure the Packer fans would love to have me leap into the fence stands.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Adam Schefter. Are you guys gambling on something behind the scenes? Is something going on? What's happening?
Oh, nothing.
No, there's something happening.
No. Gotta go.
Obviously at my expense. There's something going on.
There was maybe an over-under on how many questions I was going to get in. That's all. That's it. Just, just a quick, two-pointer in there. Yeah.
You guys. You guys, bad, 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 bad. All right, water cooler coming up. You got a bad partner over there then, Kevin. He's giving you away.
Oh, man, he was talking in the ear. You can't talk to both of us. Yeah. He's going to know.
Yeah,
right?
I did know.
Yeah.
Yeah, snarky. I get it. Uh-huh. All right. All right. I see what's going on. That's all right. Or is Richie in on this, too? Yeah, he's in on it.
I mean, on everything.
Richie's in. No, Richie's in. No, Richie's in.
By the way, our guy, Kevin Kistner, was getting ripped. Not ripped on. Well, I'll tell you why his name was getting brought up with Brandon McManus. And I do know, we now know who the fatigue police are.
Oh, I love it. Great question today.
We'll find that answer in the water cooler next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Well, I just want to say, despite getting just literally stabbed in the back, I was sticking up for my guy, Chicken Fingers Kevin Kistner.
Oh, I'm sure you were.
Earlier today.
Yeah, I'm sure you just really went to bat for him today, didn't you?
I was so surprised how many other media people were into and aware of the Kevin Kistner versus Brandon McManus debate.
Are you getting even with him right now? Is that what you're doing? Are you mad at him that and I had a little wager in the last segment? Are you trying to toss him under the bus now?
Well, no, not at all.
Are you sure?
Who won that wager, by the way?
You did. You did.
You weren't even involved,
but you won the wager. Okay. I got the over. I thought that we were wondering if I might get more than... We knew there would be some excitement regarding Aaron Rodgers talking to Adam Schefter. Mm-hmm. We knew that that was going to be there. So we set the over-under at 2 questions for me. I got more than 2 in. So you won by default.
Okay, yeah. Good. Kevin's interaction with McManus, I don't know why it caught everybody's attention, but it did. And today was a big Brandon McManus day. But Kevin, I understand you were not out there today watching and charting.
I went to the eye doctor.
Yeah. Well,
Brandon wanted me to go, so I had to go.
Right. Okay. He's got his glasses on today. Yeah. Got new prescriptions.
Good.
He feels better. I don't know if, like, now that you got the new prescription, any apologies or anything or no?
No.
Yeah, no. You saw what you saw. You stand by it.
I saw what I saw last time.
I'll
be there tomorrow. I'll count on tomorrow.
All right.
Well, for the record, under pressure, McManus hit multiple 55 yarders, including a 60 yarder. And,
he did.
He's
had a good day.
He's Brandon McManus.
Hey, these field goals did count. Yes, they did count.
Well,
although I will give Kevin this. You know, he might have been the only one to put it out there into the Twitterverse, but he was not alone. When I went over there, there was a handful of them that were all discussing the same issue. I wasn't there, thank goodness. Actually, I wish I was there because I would have talked some common sense into them to not count individual period. But they did. The only problem was Kevin's little buddies that were all kind of egging him on, they didn't really have his back. When he put it out there into the Twitterverse.
Is that one of your buddies right there?
Richie's one of the buddies. I think Richie probably told him to do it. And then I haven't heard Richie step up to the plate and be like, that was my idea.
Oh, it's not a probably. I definitely told Kevin to do it. I said, hey man, put it out there. Just say you hate Brandon McManus. That's fine.
Well, I heard a Zach Bylaf. Was Zach one of the guys trying to?
Zach was out there. Marilyn was out there with me.
Look at all this bus driving right now. Just all over the place.
I admit it.
I was asked to ask another question out there today about the fatigue police.
Yes.
Now, this is a tricky one. When you're going to ask inherently a goofy question, like, when's the right time to sort of get it in there before you lose the opportunity? But
I actually don't think it's that goofy, though. I think it's totally relevant. This is, like, it's noticeable that you've got 2 halftimes.
You can,
Denver.
Yeah.
That's not, like, that's not common. And Fangio brought it up himself that he clearly had a little bit of spite about the fatigue police. I don't even think this is a goofy question.
All right, well, Fangio Well, you'll hear the answer to the question. Here we go.
Coach, who specifically are the fatigue police?
it's just a joke with that I have with those guys. It's the strength coach, training staff. Those are the. Let me see if I'm missing anybody. Am I missing anybody?
Not the players, though.
Oh, no.
Are you lying?
Players are fine. The players will work.
Ah, so not a negotiation with the players.
And he talked more about
what? Is he talking to my guy, Lauren? Is that who he's talking to?
I think so.
No, I mean, we're doing it because they suggested it, so we'll do it, you know. But, I mean, there's water available from start to finish. They're not limited to water breaks, only during water breaks.
You see, he's laughing because you can get water. You really can get water anytime you need water at an NFL practice nowadays.
Yes.
It's always there.
That's been that way for a very long time.
Right, it's constantly
water has not been a limited resource on an NFL practice field.
So it is weird. I got to agree with the coach on this one, that you stop everything to get more water.
Well, I don't think it's about the water. I think it's more about the fatigue on the muscles, and it is giving them an opportunity to make sure that they can get rested. Maybe water is a part of it for sure. I mean, hydration is a part of any sort of muscle strain, cramp, the stuff that goes along those lines. I just don't know that Denver is necessarily the type of environment where that is necessary. Like I said, I mean, I've been on teams that we had halftimes that we did have the fatigue police. I was out in Atlanta. We had two halftimes very similar to this during training camp, but that was a necessity, man. I mean, it was hot and humid. I've had 4 years of training camps in Richmond, Virginia, the armpit of America, dude. I mean, at 400% humidity and 100 degrees, we needed halftimes in those practices. Although we would only get one halftime down in Richmond. This is a little bit unusual, although not a big deal. I mean, at the end of the day, if you err towards player safety, are you ever going to regret that? Probably not.
Is the remix good to go, Richie? It is? All right, let's see what...
Fatigue.
I love how he called out, you know, I'm talking about the strength coach, I'm talking about the trainers,
yeah.
And then he had to sit there and think about it for a second. Who else am I mad at? Am I missing anybody that I want to publicly declare is, you know, the fatigue police? Who else is he thinking about?
He actually looked at Patrick Smythe to help him out.
Patrick, can you help me out here? Are you part of the fatigue police, Patrick? Huh?
Fatigue.
Patrick's got a lot of say around there now.
Fatigue.
Oh, is that a Patrick Smythe laugh right there?
Oh, wow. Let me hear it. Is that Patrick? I couldn't tell. Is that Patrick?
Yeah, I think that is Patrick. That is him, yeah? All right, we got a Patrick Smythe laugh.
I love it.
By the way, how do you like, we make fun of the coaches because they all wear sweatshirts when it's 90 degrees.
I want to.
Our guy Patrick wears a long-sleeved dress shirt with long slacks.
He does. No sweat. No sweat stains anywhere. Yeah, super skinny, super healthy. I do want to know who is the applause police. That's who I want to know. I mean, we've got the fatigue police, and now we've got the applause police. Anytime somebody makes a big play, we got to get the applause button.
But you know that for a fact, huh?
Look, do I know it for a fact? I don't know. Is anything a fact? I know what my ears told me. I know what Richie's ears told him. I know what Stokely's ears told him. I know what Zach's ears told him.
Okay.
I know what the people that were sitting around us, what their ears told them.
All right, well, let's get into that. Bradley Chubb, I'd be curious what your thoughts about seeing Bradley Chubb back there. And some bad news for a very important player on the defense, which is pretty thin. Details next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Old Chicago Pizza and Taproom. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Oh, yeah, a little bad news today with... Josie Jewell, let's see here. Fatigue police, we got that. Oh gosh, where is it? Well, Jewell is going to be out for a chunk of time. Somebody was like, oh, he's going to be out for a week. Oh no, like 10 days. So, kind of thin there anyways, Tyler. Are you any concern there with Good news for Justin Strnad, I guess.
Oh, yeah, definitely concerned there. I mean, that was a position of weakness going into the draft. It was certainly one of the positions that you thought logically they would address it. They sort of addressed it with Browning, but you've got your concerns there with Browning and his health. Now you've got Josie Jewell. And what? So what's the status? How long is he supposed to be out? What are you saying? What are you hearing?
I mean, at least 10 days.
10 days. Okay, that's not a huge deal, although it's a little bit. I mean, anytime you've got an injury this early in training camp, the concern is whether that's going to turn into something more ongoing throughout the season. 10 days isn't that big of a deal, but it is a position of concern for us, and anytime you got somebody go down there, it makes it even more obvious. Justin Strnad, though, okay, this is a guy that didn't have very high reviews going into the draft last year out of Wake Forest, but he's a little bit of a tweener. He's kind of the faster model, not necessarily the thicker linebackers that they used to be. I'm not saying that I expect him to come out and play at some incredibly high level, but I think he's got unique qualities to his athleticism that match the game as it's being played today. Mm-hmm. So good opportunity for him.
This is what Fangio said about Strnad.
We'll find out. It's a great opportunity.
We're fixing to find out.
There you go.
There's Fangio's. We're fixing to find out.
We'll find out.
We'll find out.
It's a great opportunity.
Right.
Longer than that. He'll be out at probably, you know, he feels a whole lot better than the medical staff is saying he is. So there's kind of a conflict there. So we'll say, but I would imagine he's at least a 10-day out, you know.
I could easily see this being one of those positions that you're monitoring the waiver wire starting right now. And I believe it was right about now, correct me if I'm wrong, that we brought in Mark Barron last year.
Oh, man.
I think it was maybe the first week of preseason, somewhere around there. He never ended up playing, ended up on the IR the entire season, so we never got anything out of that. But I would be shocked if that's not a position that we are going to try to at least get depth at its best, and potentially, hopefully, somebody cuts a starter at that spot, and you might even get better there.
All right, by the way, the cornerback the Broncos sign is Rojasterman Farris, Rojesterman. Anybody, any alternate pronunciations on that one? Rojasterman Farris.
I think you nailed it. Crushed it. Great job.
Oh, yes.
Far too kind.
That is, I got to admit, guys, help me out. Rojasterman? Anybody? Ever hear a name like that? Family name?
Man.
Dutch? I don't know.
Never heard
what
it.
What a name.
No, sir.
Could go by Raj.
Good. Might have another one.
Not
doing it.
Not doing that. Good to see Elway out there today, by the way.
Elway was out there.
What'd you think when you saw John out there?
I thought it was good to see him. Now the training camp has arrived. It's good that he's showing up. Now the training camp has arrived.
Well, it's approached.
Yes.
It's been approaching, and
Now it has arrived.
It has approached,
and he is here. No, it's good to see him. Look, I don't expect John Elway to be. We joke about it. But if John Elway was present at, let's say, the media barbecue, what a distraction that would have been. It would have been. For George Payton, who's answering the questions? Is it John Elway or is it George Payton? They probably asked John Elway to not come to the media barbecue. He being present for the first couple days of camp, that wouldn't have been a distraction.
There's no way they asked him not to be there.
D-Mac. I don't know. It might have just been one of those things like, you don't need to be here. If you got something going on, if you got somewhere to be, don't worry about it. You don't need to be here. This is George Payton's show anyways. And he probably doesn't want to be there either because it's awkward. It's weird. It's like weird limbo territory that he's in this year.
Yeah. He's there today. It was good to see him. He's got a good deal going on. He doesn't look stressed out at all. He looks like...
Who wouldn't love to have John Elway's deal?
Everybody
I'd love to have
it.
John Elway's deal.
Who would not love that deal? George Payton, it looks like he's like... grinding during practice, like it's really like it looks intense as he's watching what's going on. I think he's I think the scout in him will never leave, right? And I think he just is like that. Okay, Bradley Chubb. Here's why Bradley Chubb got the surgery when he did.
It was just one of those things that couldn't do my job as well as I wanted to do it, and we all made a decision just go in there, clean it out, and it was supposed to be longer recovery with what they were supposed to do. Luckily, they just got a chance to go in there, clean it out, and nothing happened to us. So, I mean, it's just all structurally good, and I should be ready for sure.
Okay.
Good to see him out there today. Didn't get a lot of reps. I don't know how many he had in total, but the first rep that I saw, he was going up one-on-one against Garrett Bowles in a pass rush. It was a team period. It was live action. They do have the uppers on today, so pretty much live action for O-line, D-line, and he got a great rush on Garrett. It could have arguably been a sack. I'm not sure. It's always tough to tell in practice because the pass rushers aren't going to reach their arm out and try to touch the quarterback. It was at worst a pressure, at best a sack, and he had very limited sample size. So, look, he looked great with the limited reps that he had today.
How much would you play him and Bond in preseason?
Oh, I wouldn't play Chubb at all in preseason.
Not at all.
Hey, you're talking about the games?
Yeah.
Yo, no. Chubb, I wouldn't play at all.
Okay.
Vaughn, I would play him a little bit, but, you know, get him one or two series per game type of thing, and that's about it. Get in, get out, be healthy.
Is there anybody else, Courtland Sutton, is there anybody else you'd be a little careful with, or is everybody else full go?
Courtland is an interesting one because I don't know his health status. I don't know if there's concern about him getting further injury or not. I would actually feel, if healthy, I would actually feel the opposite about Courtland. He looks like he needs the reps. He looks like he needs the, I'm just not sure if he mentally totally trusts that knee, or not right now.
He's going full out during practice.
He's going full go. Yep. And I think that he might need a couple moments where he goes out there, gets that 50-50 ball, gets his mojo back and just feels confident in it. Look, I can't tell you that he's running slower. I don't have a clock on him, but he does not look as explosive as he had in years past. So many times when you come off an injury like that, D-Mac, it's simply just a mental confidence deal. I've gone through the reps. I've been in live bullets. I've come out alive, and now I know I can press it to the limit.
Well, Graham Glasgow had some honest words about this year compared to last year. And, yeah, Teddy versus Drew. We'll go through it as we kick off football at 4 next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.